Om Jnanatmanandasya Gyananjana Savakaya Chaksuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Surto Pango Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarvaspa Padambuja Sri Radha Madana Mohano Dibyat Brindaranya Kavajumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simasanastho Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Pristali V. Sevyamano Smari. Don't sit in the door, be on the inside. It's too, even if you have to go somewhere. Guru Maharaj said once that his Vaishnavas are very reluctant to sing their own praise. That runs counter to the culture of Vaishnavism. Culture of humility. I said before, what is humility? Interpreted, I guess, because it wouldn't be by definition, but the recognition of being in the proximity of something not only greater than you, but infinitely greater. Right? Like people say, why this word, infinity? Because it's of non-religious sounding words. It's the word Guru Maharaj uses the most. He talks about the infinite. And if you look at the infinite, even in an English dictionary, if you put the, there's one thing, infinite, but if you put the infinite, it will say God. So it really means God. But, and as Guru Maharaj said, when the man challenged, he said, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. And that's half true. He means by finite means, you cannot know what is infinite. I remember in school, the first time I heard the word, they put on the board, I think in math, you know, they show you some number, and then they put a line and say, what is that? It means it goes on forever, and for infinity. The numbers keep going. And people play with pi and things like that, pi, pi. And I recall when I was a child, I was told a certain time I had to go to bed, right? And there was this TV show that would come on about some doctors. But there was one old doctor on the show. He played the Einstein-looking old cantankerous but gentle-hearted grandfatherly figure doctor to the young, handsome doctor, you know, Dr. Zorba. But the beginning of the show, the way it started, before any commercial or anything, they would show a blackboard with chalk, and he'd pick up a piece of chalk, and he would write, draw a circle, and then a line down and across, and go, man. Then draw a circle with a little arrow, woman. Or excuse me, man with the, you know, that shows you what I know. The circle with the arrow, man, circle with the, right, woman, then he'd do an asterisk, you know, birth, then across, death, and then he'd draw this, you know, sideways eight and go, infinity. And then they say, all right, now you have to go to bed. You know? But I like the part where you go, infinity. So that man saying to Guru Maharaj, if the finite can know the infinite, he's not infinite. Meaning even the finest finite minds who can conceive far beyond what most can conceive, the Einsteins, the Newtons, Einsteins, and we can say Stephen Hawking, just, you know, for a contemporary reference, they can conceive of things far beyond what the mass of people can conceive. But the man was saying, still it's finite. And Guru Maharaj himself says, the sum total of the finite is never equal to the infinite. Right? It's just a whole lot of finite. Right? But it's not the infinite. It still falls short of the infinite. And how does Krishna reveal these things? We have this heavy Gaudiya ontology side, but in his pastimes, when he's a little Damodar, right? Because Dam Udara, Dam means bound by the waist. It's one, it has other meanings, but that's one. Udar means here. So Damodar, means who's bound that way. But we know why Yashoda, she's a Gyanashunya Bhakti. I mean, that's almost, you know, an aparadha. She's Yashoda. But just for the sake of analysis, without committing offense, she's a Gyanashunya Bhakta, meaning knowledge-free devotion. Under the influence of Yoga Maya, she's unaware of Krishna's divinity. Otherwise, how can she be his mother and she be his son if at every moment she's thinking, this is God, the Supreme God, the Infinite. How can I put him on my lap and let him suck my breast? So she has to be under the influence of Yoga Maya, because there's Ma Maya, Yoga Maya. Ma Maya, forgetfulness of Krishna. Here, forgetfulness of Krishna's divinity, so that you can interact with him in seemingly finite terms, particularly the Prakriti Leela of Vrindavan, which Guru Maharaj said, that's the infinite coming nearest to the finite, as if he's one of them. To like walking like we do, he doesn't take giants, he's not Vaman avatar in one step covering half the universe, the other step, the second half. No, he's walking like this, and sometimes on the chariot, horse-drawn chariot. It's very charming. It's not primitive, it's charming, actually. So Yashoda, thinking, her heart, she Vatsalya Rasa is superior to Sakya Rasa. Means, you know, normally we say, let's just start with Dasya and leave Shanta aside for the moment. Master and servant. That's what people understand mostly about religion. Right? It's consistent every year. You know, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Master, and we're his humble servants, and that. And that's not untrue, and I don't mean to demean that in any way. But in Krishna conception, we find the full spectral range of relationship possibility. And it's not just something arbitrary, but it's based on love and affection, a particular type. So master and servant have a loving relationship, but there's a certain level of cautious distance. Rupa Goswami analyzes all these things in fine detail in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. And he said, perhaps after Krishna deals with Kaliya and he comes out of the Jamuna, he said, one cowherd boy, he wants to hug him. Like, he's so happy that Krishna is safe and sound, and he wants to hug him. And then he recoils because it occurs to him some other things. Maybe that's not, you shouldn't hug or embrace. So, but he's showing that's a level, the lower level of friend. There's some tinge of veneration and these type of, the other friends are equal and they're palling around with Krishna as equals. And we find in Charitamritam, the Krishna saying, I like this very much. Saying the whole universe is in awe of my majestic aspect, Aishwarya Gyan. And rightfully so, but he's saying, but if on account of this intense awareness of my divinity that overwhelms your and blocks the flow of heart that's possible in more intimate relationships, I'm disappointed. It's okay, it's good for you. But I want something more. I like this when the finite, out of love, not arrogance or delusion, but out of love and affection, treats me as an equal. He's saying, that melts my heart. I told, when, we did we mention Garuda earlier? Yes, about Satyabhama under the bed. And so Garuda, he's in Dasya Rasa, he's very happy when Vishnu or Krishna is on his shoulders and he's flying through the air. That's his ultimate happiness. He's like, he's the carrier, and not in remotes. He's literally got him on his shoulders and he's flying through the air. How wonderful is that? It's so beautiful. But Krishna reveals in Charitamritam when he says, but, saying, when my friends and I are playing, my equals, and they say, you know, you don't look that strong. I think, how about 2 out of 3, you and me? Right? Best 2 out of 3. And we're told the losers have to carry the victors on their shoulders. So Krishna loses. How beautiful is that? Can we conceive that? That the infinite can be in the position of the loser through devotion. Devotion is observed, acknowledged, when the infinite comes under the control of the finite. That's the devotion that Rupa Goswami is eager to express. Right? The infinite comes under the control of the finite. So Krishna loses. And then what does he have to do? He has to carry the victor on his shoulders. But now Krishna's like, it's like, oh, he's got his devotee on his shoulders. How happy, he's saying, you don't know how happy this makes me. So there's Vishnu or Krishna on the shoulders of Garuda, but here in Sakya Rasa, there's a role reversal. Right? The devotee's on the shoulders of Krishna. Do we dare conceive of such a thing? As Guru Maharaj told, that the altar, we consider the altar sacred, right? It's Anandashesh, one of his expansions, to be the Simhasan. But Guru Maharaj said, and it's an offense for you to touch your foot to the altar, to anything divine. Right? Even living beings. We don't step over anyone, including animals, right? Because Paramatma and Jivatma are there. Right? So you never see someone trained in Vedic culture step over someone. They make a little path and go to the side. And they don't step over even an animal. But the Shringasan is a worshipable throne of the Lord. But it may be that one has to walk on it to put the flute in the hands of Krishna or the crown on the deity of Krishna. With a bowed head, folded palms, some cloth, or a but still they're doing that. Why? It's seva. When it's seva, it's not offensive. If it's for our own purpose, then yes. But for the Lord's service, it's not only not offensive, it's desirable and embraced. So it's service to Krishna to play in that way. Like when the king says he wants to spar, you know the word spar? What is it? Say it in Russian.
Sparring, we have a similar word, yeah.
Not to me, to Russian speaking people.
Sparinговаться или соревноваться.
Like mock fight. They don't get a man from the street, first of all. It's one of his own entourage. And he wants him to give him a good fight too. Not to just go, oh, you win. That's no fun. He wants somebody who can like really take it to him. So he can come out. But we find that, but usually the king always wins. But in Krishna Leela, he doesn't always win. Sometimes he's losing. And that's to his delight, to lose to the devotee. Repeatedly we find stories in Charitamritam and elsewhere. What are they? They're always shining the light on devotion. The devotion of a particular devotee. That's the predominating theme of, really, of Krishna Leela. To show the devotion of the cowherd boys, of Yashoda, of the gopis. So that Yashoda, and some friends, like Balaram, Krishna's brother, one of Krishna's names, Ramanuja, means Rama, Anuja, Anuja. Ja means born, Anuja means like junior, Ramanuja means Rama's little brother. It's one meaning. Ramanuja, that's what the name of Krishna. So Balaram, elder brother. And what does it mean? Just like in this world, the mother tells the elder brother, take care of your little brother. He's in your charge. When you go out, you're to look after him. So that's Balaram's, he likes that too. So it's like friendship, but with an element of Vatsalya Rasa, paternal concern. And you see how it's gradually developing. So they're friends who are equal, but this certain group, they have a little concern for their friend. Right? They look out for him. They want to protect him. That's a paternal instinct. So it's going higher. Now it's going towards paternal sentiment. So by the time it reaches Yashoda, she's so concerned about Krishna. And if you think, like when we were talking the other day about Trinavarta because of the typhoons, and it's like a whirlwind. So when Krishna's a baby, a demon, they're shapeshifters, they are wizards, and what's the female wizard? Huh? Well, no, I mean, it should end in et. Wizet. No, I don't know. No. But the female version of a wizard is a witch in one sense. But anyway, we don't need to get into that. Called Sanskrit, Kechari. Yeah. They can. There's a type of sorceress who can fly on the branch of an uprooted tree. Very like the classical stereotype of the witch in Western folklore.
We call it Baba Yaga or Vedma.
Uh-huh.
Both words similar.
Yeah. So they're all, and they're all doing some similar stuff. And they're usually the enemies of little children. So one, Kansa is sending all these people to Nanda Gokul. And so Trinavarta comes as a whirlwind and then starts spinning Krishna, the baby Krishna. There's like dust everywhere. So they can't find Krishna. Mother Yasoda's like losing her mind. She's lost Krishna. And what's happening? The whirlwind's spinning him and he's going, and he's going up into the sky. But because he's a baby, he thinks this is fun. Like he's flying, spinning and flying into the sky, so he's enjoying it. But Yashoda's crying, lamenting, and panicking that she's lost Krishna. When then Krishna deals with the demon and comes back to earth, and what do the ladies of Vrindavan think? Just as they thought in the case of Putanam, when she's like so many miles long and she crushed to the ground, but Krishna was still playing on her breast, and they're going, thank the Lord that she didn't fall the other way. They're not thinking Krishna has some special power. They're just saying, Yashoda, you must have done some pious activities in your last life to have this good fortune that she fell that way and the breast cushioned the fall of Krishna. You know, and they climb on this giant breast, remove Krishna, and he's laughing. So here, same thing. Each time they're thinking. And then the cowherd women, the elderly gopis, they come with cow tails and they're chanting mantras, putting on tilak, throwing things. You know, they're trying to protect Krishna. So how much he's enjoying that? Because that's when he's relishing this, because they're not treating him like he's God or the infinite or divinity. They have genuine paternal concern out of just love and affection. They just love him. They're not, the position is suppressed. It's in the background. They don't know by the influence of Yoga Maya that allows these type of pastimes. So Yashoda, she, seeing the mischievous nature of Krishna, and so many things have happened already, she thinks, the way I need to do different household chores, but I need to keep an eye on him. So I think the best thing I'll do is I'll just tie a rope around his waist and to something very heavy, like a grinding mortar that's very it's all stone. And then he can circle around and play and things, but I'll know where he is and everything will be fine. So when she captures him and she's trying to tie the rope to his waist, she ties it around and we're told, dui anguli. It's two fingers too short. Right? That much. And she's like, so what does she adds some more rope. Because it's always dui anguli, two fingers too short. So Gauranga said, the sum total of the finite will never equal the infinite. Right? She's assembling finite, trying to bind the not always short by Krishna's play. But he sees she's so determined. Right? She's very focused and intense. And he sees, while she's trying to do it, she keeps adding more rope. She's trying. Sweat is coming down her face. And the flowers in her hair, they're starting to fall. And he sees how much she's giving of herself to do this. And that melts Krishna's heart. So then suddenly the ropes go together. And in the song, we're told, the Damodarastakam, which is coming up soon, 23rd, at a temple near you, 24th, Urjavrat, that he's bound by the ropes of love and affection. That's how she binds him. The observable, objective ropes are influenced by this love and affection. So Guru is saying, the sum total of the finite is never equal to the infinite. And the man said, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. Rupa Goswami says in the where he says it, I don't know, but he says, well, probably Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavye Graja Mindriye Sevan Mukhe Hijabaru Shaime Vasportira. Very beautiful, very perfect. Atak Shri Krishna Nam. Right? So the holy name of Shri Krishna Nam, Atak Shri Krishna Nam Adi means etc. So what does he mean by that? The Nam of Krishna, the Roop of Krishna, the Gunas of Krishna, the Leela of Krishna. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela means the name or sound representation of the Lord. And which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from that sound, the color or form comes out. the Roop, which also means beauty, form, beauty. Guna, with specific qualities and characteristics. And then Leela, subsequent or accompanying pastimes. So Rupa Goswami is saying, Atat Shri Krishna Namadi, all these things, Na Bhavyed Grahyam Indriyai. They're beyond the grasp of the senses. They're beyond the finite grasp of the senses. Two fingers too short, always. You cannot verify the infinite or divinity by finite means. It's a fool's errand. You cannot prove that in an objective sense. But as our good friend Girdle says, I'm summarizing and repurposing Girdle's theorem, that there are many things that are true that can't be proven. So, two fingers too short, beyond the grasp of the senses, which include the mind. So what is he telling us? The name of Krishna is beyond what you can grasp with your mind and senses. Then what are we doing? Talking about all these things, chanting Krishna Nam, and telling everyone else to do the same. Then he says, Sevan muke hi jivago, shayam eva spuratira. But when the same senses that are fall short of capturing the infinite are infused with seva, loving, serving tendency, infused with that mood, then can grasp the name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. So then, what is Guru Maharaj's answer to that man? Because he's half right, saying, it's beyond the if the infinite can know, finite can know the infinite, he's not infinite. Guru Maharaj said, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, he's not infinite. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedaya na bahuna sritena yame vaisha vivrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanum swam. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedaya means... You don't get this by being very intelligent, agyani, going to impress Krishna with your knowledge. I didn't know that. he's omniscient. His default position is omniscience. By just talking about it, pravachan, preaching, namedena, bahuna, by so much hearing, or just by... your ability to extract from Shruti, Shruti bir vimrigyam, what the Shrutis are searching for, the Braja Gopis have. So, seva, which means giving of yourself, that's what it means to qualify really, some self-sacrifice, self-offering. So Guru Maharaj, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, that means that's his prerogative. He chooses to whom, through whom, to whom to reveal himself. And he said, and if he can't do that, he's not infinite. Not the finite can, yes, you're right. By finite means you cannot know the infinite. But by infinite means, which means, and what is the means of the infinite? Revelation, divine revelation. So I said in the beginning that the Vaishnavas do not like to sing their own praise. So Srila Guru Maharaj, and I was talking about the doorway, the entrance, that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, in his final hours, to sing the Narottam Thakur song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, called him to his bedside. And Guru Maharaj was shy and hesitating to sing that. Another disciple of Saraswati Thakur was pushed forward by Kunja Babu, Tirtha Maharaj, and he began singing, and Saraswati Thakur stopped him and said, I don't want to hear the sweet tune, I want to hear from him, this, from his heart. And it was told that what was observed was a mystic power transmission of the Rupa Nuga line to Srila Guru Maharaj. So, in recounting this story, sometimes Guru Maharaj has to tell this to us. So he would say, because I asked him, Srila Puri Maharaj, it was him who was asked to sing by Kunja Babu, and then Saraswati Thakur stopped. So he himself, in his great humility, would tell this story and how glorious it is. And that's once after telling that, he's next to me, I'm at the feet of Guru Maharaj, and he pointed to Guru Maharaj and said, Rupa Nuga Dhara, Rupa Nuga Dhara, like that. Then he went downstairs, back to his mom, and I asked Guru Maharaj, I said, when Srila Puri Maharaj was here, he pointed and said, you are Rupa Nuga Dhara. I was unfamiliar with this term. I said, what does that mean? And Guru Maharaj was like, he didn't really want to tell me what it means. But he can see, I'm like childlike and naive. What did he mean by saying that to you? You know, and Guru Maharaj, and Srila Gurudeva, means who's carrying the current of Srila Rupa Goswami, that divine current of devotion that went from Mahaprabhu to Rupa. He's the Rupa Nugadara. He's carrying that current. It's alive and well and ever expanding within him. As Srila Gurudev said once, and observe, comparing Guru Maharaj to two other god brothers and their preaching style. He said, one god brother, he said, it's like a waterfall, like very intense. He said, but it's not so clear what is being said. He said, this other god brother, he's clear like a pond, very calm and clear, but it's a little, what's the generous word? Flat. Yeah. And he said, and what about Guru Maharaj? He said, like a fountain of nectar springing from the unknown quarter, giving something fresh at every moment. That was Gurudev's assessment. And he loves all three of them, but that he was, of course, comparing Srila Guru Maharaj. So he said, who's carrying the current of Rupa Goswami? And Guru Maharaj, in telling of that story of being asked by Saraswati Thakur to sing Sri Rupa Mandiri Pada, he said, my god brothers say that at that moment I was given entrance into the group of Sri Rupa. And Guru Maharaj said, but is too much to, he's saying, they say. He said, but I rather think of myself as the gatekeeper posted at the door, the gate, and deciding who will enter and who will not enter. And we're like riveted to hearing this. And he said, and I'm not allowing anyone and everyone. But that said, we are allowing anyone and everyone to. It was the doorway that made me think of that. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah.
There is one long-awaited question from Trailokyanath Das.
Oh, yes. Finally.
Finally.
At last. He asked this question like 3 months ago.
So he starts his message. Dear Maharaja Dandavat Pranams, I wonder if you can enlighten me on the following. Srila Guru Maharaj on his tape, and he gives a reference to the tape, mentions that beginning of the quote. In the time of my death, this body will vanish, but the mental system with those wealth full with the memory of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, that will remain, that the atom bomb cannot destroy. End of quote. I was under the impression that the mind is material and therefore destructible. You must remember the story that when two disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him about what Srimurti should they be meditating while doing japa, he replied that they must not try to bring the holy name under the jurisdiction of the vulture of their mind.
Yes.
So how are we to understand and harmonize the indestructibility of the mental system possessing jivatma qualities?
Because it's what we have as mind and intelligence here is a shadow representation of mind and intelligence, body, everything. So, yes, on the one hand, it says, Bhumirapo analo vayu kam manobudhirevacha ahankara iti ame bina prakritirastidha. That earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, these are material elements. But Guru Maharaj is saying that what the objective destruction does not destroy the subtle material elements. They ultimately will vanish also, but he's saying not in this way. So in the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego, it's transferring to another body with the dissolution of the gross body. So he's making a distinction between gross body and subtle body. But I'm also making a distinction between spiritual mind and material mind. Because what is being appreciated, Mahaprabhu's culture, as referenced there, is beyond, it's also not mental substance. Right? This is one of the flaws of Prakriti Sahajism, is to think that you can recondition mind in such a way that it is converted into spiritual substance, when actually this is the covering of the soul, which it's the chayabhas, as Guru Maharaj says, the shadow, chidabhas, the shadow of chit, is represented in terms of mundane intelligence, mind, etc. So it's only through the culture of faith, not mental or intellectual ability, that you can grasp in a meaningful way Mahaprabhu's teachings. So he's implying that whether in the really ultimately he's talking about the culture of faith and Atma, that zone, and that's being carried on into the next situation. But on a technical issue, we could say so are the elements of mind and intellect, which although mundane, are subtle and not destroyed by they're not subjected to gross, the destruction with along with the gross body. But in other, whatever Guru Maharaj is saying is consistent with what he says elsewhere. So he's saying, with the dissolution of the body, gross and subtle, we want to ultimately live in the plane of faith. And that means Atma. Right? Indriyani paranyahur indriyevya paramanaha manasastu parabhute yo budhe paratastu saha. Above sense objects are the working senses, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, etc. Right? But then there's the seer, the mind, who's seeing through the eye, hearing through the ear, tasting with the tongue. But finer than mind is intelligence, finer than intelligence, ego, finer than that, Atma. So we're connecting, whenever we're coming in connection with the substance of Krishna consciousness, means really on the Atma plane. Although there is awareness of that, and even within mundane mind and intelligence. So we have to be very careful about that. Otherwise, we get carried away mentally or intellectually in the pursuit of something less than genuine spiritual substance, a shadow representation of that. I know that's not perhaps a very clear answer, but that's my answer at this time. Anything else?
We had a question from Gupta Gautam. Mm-hmm. We are often said that devotees are liberated from karma, but whom shall we consider as devotees?
Good everyone, question.
Everyone who got a diksha. Right. And is there any gradation of souls liberated from karma depending on their status or position in spiritual hierarchy?
On their what?
Is there any gradation of souls liberated from karma depending on their status or position?
On their what? Depending on their...
status.
Oh, status.
Status.
Okay.
Opposition in spiritual hierarchy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a very... good question and a complex one. For example, it says in Brahma Sanyata, karmani nirdahadikantu cha bhakti bhajam, which renders as a devotee is free from karma. We're often told this about diksha or initiation. And that sometimes we'll even hear, and the sins are being transferred to the guru and things like that. And so Prabhupada said, so don't, you know, misbehave and make your guru suffer. And it's almost like a paternal way of dealing, inducing good behavior. Guru Maharaj would say, on these, when you say, oh, being transferred to the guru, he said, like when a doctor takes on a case. He's saying, when you say, oh, I've got this and I've got that, because he's taken on your case and he's empathetic, he's feeling something for you. He said that's more like that. And he said, and also, that when you go to a qualified physician and you say, like, I have this ailment, and they go, who's your doctor? And you go, so-and-so is my doctor. A person in the know might say, consider yourself cured. Like, you're cured. Then we say, well, but not yet, not literally. But they're saying, well, when you're under the care of this particular doctor, suffering as you are, you follow that prescription, you'll be cured, you know, in that way. So there's also the sloka that says, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kori Atma Samarpan, which you can read in different ways. One way it's read as, you know, at the time when you surrender yourself to the guru, then so many things are a consequence of that. But we could focus on the word Atma Samarpan, means offering yourself. Reading this in another direction, it could be saying that real diksha is when you've offered yourself to guru. Not formally, but substantially. We use this term, devotee, very in a broad way and loosely, you can say. So someone who's been in connection with Krishna consciousness for a month is described as a devotee. They say, oh, have you met this new devotee? Someone who's been there for 2 years is called a devotee. Someone who's been around for 10 years called a devotee, 20 years a devotee, 70 years a devotee. Guru Maharaj tells us consistently, there is gradation everywhere in everything. So Rupa Goswami, also in the Upadeshamritam, says we can conceive, you know, the third class, second class, first class. And gives some way to make these determinations. But without going into the details, it's telling us that there are gradations of devotees. Then we can understand that. So when it says, so for someone who is a devotee, this applies, then we can think legitimately, well, to what degree a devotee, and according to that degree, it may apply. But even applying that formula, all rights reserved for Krishna. He can do anything and everything he wants at any time. He doesn't have to go, I didn't follow the rule, I forgot. It's not like that. He can do anything at any time. Right. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, sarva-dharmam parityajamam ekam sharanam braja. Give up everything and surrender to me. Prabhupada once rendered that as, he cancels your destiny. You have a particular karmic destiny that was going to play out, he just canceled it. Right. Someone might say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Because I got this, you know, new thing going on that's pretty good. That's what Guru Maharaj said. We're still attached to the mundane and entertaining thoughts of lordship and you know, the things are going to suddenly go our way. It's the Maya's ability to just continuously delude one into thinking that, you know, happiness is right around the corner. You know. So when Krishna says, or Prabhupada says, he cancels your destiny, but what did he say? Sarvadharmam pari, give up everything and surrender to me. They would say, have I really done that? Or did I do it to a certain degree? Or someone say, oh, I was initiated, 5 years ago, and that was the moment where you gave yourself totally? Or could we think, no, that was the beginning, and maybe in time we'll learn to give ourselves more, culminating in full self-sacrifice? Remember, it's the neophytes who are looking for deals. Right? And like Ekadashi is a bargain. You get more for less on this day. And that, I mean, the sweet one. We feel a little something because we're not taking certain things. Gurudev said that, because don't try and do it in such a way as you don't feel anything. Saying that little thing you feel like, then you're sacrificing part of yourself, literally offering it up to Krishna. Right. There are other, I didn't want to go in a detailed explanation about that right now, but to try and stand the same, of like self-giving, self-sacrifice. So back to the verse, sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. These are interesting words. Because if we reverse them, what does it say? Braja sharanam. So what kind of surrender? What is it really always? It always inevitably goes in one direction. What is the ultimate braja sharanam, the braja style of surrender? The braja gopis. Right. Who do what? Give themselves wholly totally, solely to Krishna. That's why they decorate themselves for Krishna. They put on eye makeup for Krishna. They do everything for Krishna's enjoyment. Right? Including bringing other gopis to Krishna, if he so desires. That's the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamritam, the final sloka of the Shikshastakam. Asli Shava Paratam Panastumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotuva Yata Tata Bhavadada Tulampato Matprana Natastu Sareva Napara. Where Radharani is pledging unalloyed, unconditional surrender to Krishna. And the salient point being, it's when, if you're in connection with Krishna, so much he's rasa personified, ecstasy personified, no problem there. But what about when you're separated from Krishna? What do you do? Or adarshanam, when he's not present. Or as for our, to make it a little more near to us and accessible to us, when you're faced with non-Krishna consciousness or not being Krishna conscious, that, what do we do? Do we keep pursuing Krishna consciousness despite non-achievement, is what I mean to say? Or in the face of non-achievement, become complacent, lack interest, lose our enthusiasm, patience, determination on account of non-achievement. So she's saying unconditionally, that means if it adarshanam, if not revealing yourself to me is the way you want it, makes you happy, I'm okay with it. Then that's all I'm concerned with. It's easy to say these things or repeat these things, but really, to mean them and have them be from the heart, that's the highest level of Krishna consciousness. We don't feign that, we're not pretending that, we're repeating what we've heard. So, Braja Sharanam. So for those Hey Gopi Jana Balava, in the Mahabharata, the disrobing of Draupadi, right, which I'm sure everyone here knows about, right, who works on Mahabharata, that when that time comes, she's trying to protect herself and maintain her, you know, her modesty, right? By clutching her, and they're like pulling. But they're strong men, they're Kshatriya men. And even though she's like a Kshatriya princess, still not, she's overpowered by them. And so she's calling out to Krishna. And now at one point, now she's holding with one arm and calling, but she's still trying to protect herself. And no response is coming. But then we're told, in the end, she lifts both arms. Now she's totally at the mercy of Krishna. She, no protection for herself. And what does she say? Hey, Gopi Jana Balava. She addresses Krishna as the lover of the gopis. Not other names, this name of Krishna. Braja Sharanam. And now she's personifying Braja Sharanam. No self-protection, just, I'm handing, Goptritve Bharana, I'm handing myself over to you. I have no other shelter, no other protection than you. And then what do we find? Infinity, in a word. The sari is just, going on forever. And what are we told too, as part of the leela? You remember Yogamaya about scripting, casting Krishna Leela? That when she was a young girl, Krishna cut himself. There are many stories. And he's bleeding. And so she tore her sari and made a bandage for his finger. So she tore this little bit of cloth out and then made a nice bandage for Krishna. So she gave that much cloth, you know, like that much. That's how much she gave. And what is the hand of the infinite? He gave infinite cloth in return. So Rupa Goswami, when he says, Kleshagni Subhada Moksha Lagutakrit Sandra Ananda Vishesha Atma Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. What is one of the unique characteristics of Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna? It captures Krishna. So back in the heart of a tiny, finite soul, right? Trillion, trillion stars, science tells us, the earth planet, human beings of the conscious elite, in the heart of one of these tiny, finite souls, if there's like some love and affection for Krishna that melts Krishna's heart, melts the heart of the infinite, touches the heart of the infinite, wherever we are. Once that's there, that touches the heart of Krishna, his heart melts, he's giving himself. It's not fair, actually. So sometimes we're told, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate. That's the most general way. And so then you can start factoring in all these percentages. Well, 25% surrendered, 25% response. 50% surrendered, 50% response, you know, that kind of thing. But in the Bhagavatam, we find it actually goes a little differently than that. Once Krishna is actually interested in a devotee, he gives them help in an unexpected way. He says, someone who's going, oh, I want devotion to you. He goes, nah, they don't want really. So I go, here, have mukti. And they go, wow, liberation, mukti, unbelievable. They run off and on. This is so cool. You know. But then devotee comes and asks for something mundane. And Krishna's thinking, you really don't want that. Really, you want me. But you're a little distracted right now. Once Prabhupada said, before going back to Godhead, sometimes Krishna allows a devotee to stop off on the heavenly planets for 10,000 years of heavenly enjoyment. And everyone was going, that's the one I want. Not to go back to Godhead. Let me stop off in the heavenly planets for 10,000 years. And then, you know. That betrays the lower position. The higher devotees, they think they're unqualified, undeserving, and they have no interest in going back to Godhead or any of these kind of things. They just want to serve. They have so much love and affection for Krishna. If they can just serve him in some way, they're happy. Right? No self, no concern for their own position, heaven or hell. So, what is the question I'm answering?
Everyone who got a diksha.
The level. So, understand, remember, Mahaprabhu says, Mama janme, janmani janmani shere bhavatad bhaktir hai tuhi tuhi. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would translate, this is the fourth verse in the Shikshastakam. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would render it this way. It's Mahaprabhu speaking, saying, I know that because of my karma, I will have to take birth again and again. But let me be blessed to have connection with your devotees. Bhaktivinoda, kita janmaho jata tua das bahirmukha brahma janme nahayash. I don't want to be Brahma as a non-devotee, I'd rather be an insect in the house of a devotee than Chaturmukh Brahma. Consistent. So Mahaprabhu is saying, oh, I will have to be born again and again. He's saying that. But I just want the connection, some service and connection with your devotees. That's the proper prayer. And remember, he's mirroring the sentiments of the heart of Srimati Radharani. So, we're not seeking mukti, liberation, salvation from our sins. Karmis want that. They go like, I did a lot of things that are wrong. I think I should start like a little charity trust because I have some extra cash from the nefarious things I've done. That's why super rich people, they always start some charity because like, they know, they can feel it, the karmic burden of all that, so, well, you know. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, it's just what I'm saying is true. In most cases, I'm going to speak in sweeping generalizations because the ontological world needs to be swept. But anyway, you know, like, Ahushchite nalina nava padaravindam yogeshwari hridivijantamagada bodhi samsara kupa patito tananava lambam gehum jasambapi sadhana manasi sadhana. Radharani telling Krishna, like, we're not jnanis, we're gopis. It's so sweet. He's saying, like, and we're not karmis either. Like, karmis, like, oh God, save me from my sins. Karmic reactions are coming. Save me. We're not interested, like, you can do this for us. And neither are we jnanis or intellectuals or academics. And we're not yogis. We're going to learn to do yoga and meditate on the Lord and the heart. Come on. You're standing in front of us. But we don't like the way you're dressed. Sometimes women, they don't, the object of their love and affection, they're not crazy about the way he's dressed. But they think, we can improve him. So she's saying, where is your flute? What kind of Krishna doesn't have a flute? Tell me that. An imposter. No flute, no Gopavesh, and no Jamuna, no... What is this? So they can't conceal their love and affection, but also their disappointment. They love everything about Krishna, including his flute. It's got to be flute, Krishna with the flute. The no flute Krishna doesn't fly for them. So he's saying, and samsara kupa means like the well of family life. They're saying, we're just, you know, gopi girls in the well of family life, but we want to have that with you. That's what we want. We don't want you to save us from our sins or enlighten us about this, that. We just want to have a loving relationship with you. Gopavesh, flute, Vrindavan, Jamuna, that we want. Anyara hridoyaman moraman Vrindavan. For most people, heart and mind are the same. Radharani says, my heart and Vrindavan are the same. My mind and they're identical. Moraman Vrindavan. My mind is Vrindavan. So when I say I want your lotus feet and back in Vrindavan, means in my heart. Vrindavan in this sense is a construct of her heart. How beautiful is that? But I will leave you with this, that when we're taking prasadam with Srila Gurudev, as we're privileged to do, normally he's not saying anything. This, they bring the prasannam, he's taking the prasannam, it's all done quietly. He doesn't want talking. I'm not saying to enforce that here, I'm just letting you know. Right? He doesn't want that at that time. You know, he's very absorbed in this. You know. But as he was older and his health was not so good, the devotees, you know, they cook many things, especially the Bengali devotees. Gopal, Ratan, Ranadit, they're like making many, many things. And, but then they realize that they can't give them all to him. So he's sitting there, and I'm sitting over here with someone. So what they do sometimes, they kind of like, they have to walk by him, but then they go and put it on our plate, and then they go. And this one day, Gurudev, he starts singing some Bengali song, like from his childhood, whatever, you know, I go. But I can tell, he's doing this very dramatically, and, you know, with like intense, dramatic emotion. So I can tell, he wants me to say something. So I said, Maharaj, what is that song? And he goes, oh, Maharaj. And he said, Radharani is very unhappy. And I'm like, she is? Why? He said, because not only is Krishna going to the house of another gopi, but he's going through her courtyard so that she can see that he's going to the house of another gopi. She's very unhappy. And this shows, like, gives us some insight to his ecstatic emotional interior. What triggered this from him? He's saying, it's bad enough that what they're giving you, they're putting it on your plate and not mine. But they like bring it right in front of me and then put it on your plate. You understand? Saying, so it's bad enough Krishna's going to the house of another gopi, but he's going right in, so she can, he's making it a point that she sees that he's doing that. Then we can think, how cruel is Krishna? And is that proper behavior of the sweet absolute? But if we study the science of devotion, then we'll say, what is the most irresistible aspect of Srimati Radharani? It's called Bhama Bhav. Means, that's why she's the left wing of opposition, to oppose him. So by making her, in a sense, jealous, this deeper kind of love and affection is going to mon, like angry love, and that totally captures Krishna. So he wants her to become like that. But in the end of Charitamrita, she's saying, if Krishna wants another gopi, she says, then I will fall at her feet and beg her and take her to Krishna. That's my position. But Guru Maharaj tells us elsewhere that sometimes Radharani will say, the desired service, it's clear at this point, it can only be done by me. So that's such a beautiful world. However long it takes to get there, that we are happy by the grace and the mercy of our Guru Varga, that they're giving us some service in connection with that plane, we're happy with that. Hare Krishna.